You're listening to Sandy Adams Radio with Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Ruth. And now here's Pastor Sandy with his teaching through Ruth chapters 1 through 4.
You know, I like this strategy because it's also how we can abide and rest in Jesus Christ. Same strategy works for us. First, make sure you're washed. If you've never been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the first step. And not only do you need to be washed with the blood of Jesus, as we talked about this morning, you need to wash your mind with the rinsing and cleansing of the Word of God. Wash your mind and thoughts with God's Word. And then make sure you're anointed. Dab on a little of the oil of the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Spirit. Trust in the Spirit. Ask Him to fill you and overflow you with God's presence and God's power. Then make sure you're dressed for success. Put on Christ. Start to form a new identity. Learn to see yourself as God sees you, as holy, as righteous, as blameless, as a joint heir with Jesus, as a child of God. Realize you're a new creation in Christ. And then fourthly, make sure you just lie down at Jesus' feet. Rest at His feet. Humble yourself before the Master. Spend time in His presence. And then do whatever He tells you to do. Verse 5. And Ruth said to her, "All that you said to me sounds good to me. I'll do it." And so she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, cold-toesed at the trick, and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. Now this is a bold move for a woman at this time in this culture, no doubt about it. Ruth proves that she's a liberated woman. She follows Naomi's instructions exactly. The cold toes work. Surprise, surprise, Boaz wakes up, and there's Ruth lying at his feet. And she asks him, or he asks her in verse 9, "Who are you?" Probably a little dark, couldn't tell. So she answered, "I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." And this phrase, "take your maidservant under your wing," or more figuratively, under the corner of your cloak or under your garment, was the equivalent in ancient times of a marriage proposal. This is a bold move. Ruth is popping the question to Boaz. Verse 10, then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." Why is it that some girls think they have to compromise their morals and lower their standards just to get a guy? Girls, what a lack of faith. A woman of faith won't be a flirt. Ladies, God has a Boaz for you. He's got a Matthew McConaughey or a Denzel Washington picked out just for you. And he's a Christian, no less. But you've got to trust the Lord, and you need to be a virtuous woman. Don't forget, a virtuous man isn't out looking for a floozy. He wants to marry a woman with a good reputation. A virtuous man wants a virtuous woman. A woman that he knows is good and godly. And Ruth had gained that kind of reputation. And it's one of the reasons that Boaz was attracted to her. Ladies, I hope you have more faith than a lot of other women these days. Don't lower your standards. Don't drop your morals. Trust God to bring you your Boaz. Boaz responds to Ruth in verse 12. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there's a catch. There is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. Boaz's answer is yes, if. Yes, but. As I often say, no wedding ever goes off without a hitch. That's kind of a joke. No wedding ever goes off without a hitch. Anyway, Boaz is going to be happy to marry Ruth. This would be a great thing for him. But there's one problem. Though Boaz is a near kinsman, he is not the nearest kinsman. There's a closer kin with first dibs at redeeming Elimelech's land and marrying his daughter-in-law. Now, here's proof that Boaz was a principled man. Remember, this story takes place in the days of the judges. At a time when everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You remember that from our study in Judges. Everyone, that is, except Boaz and except Ruth. Notice, in an age of compromise, it is so refreshing to find two people who are willing to do things God's way, by the book. Hey, this was risky, no doubt about it. This required faith. Bo and Ruthie were in love. Marriage is the goal here. What if this near kinsman exercises his right? Boaz will be busted. But Boaz, you see, believed in doing things right. He believed in God, in trusting God. He knows that God is in control. And if God wants he and Ruth to marry, he knows that God can pull it off. God will see to it. Boaz knows that the worst move he can make is to take a shortcut. Guys, when we take matters into our own hands, when we try to manipulate the situation, we mess it up. Always. Remember, God's will done God's way will always have God's blessing. Do you believe that truth? I hope you do. Do you really believe that what's done God's way will have God's blessing? When will we learn that our shortcuts usually end up in long detours? Guys, the shortest distance between two points is always the will of God. You remember the last five chapters of Judges. Nasty, ruthless, barbaric acts occurred in Israel. And yet in contrast here, two people. They choose to live life. They choose to conduct marriage God's way. God blesses them, as God will bless anyone who follows their example. Here is a good formula for life. You want to write this down. Trust God and do the right thing. That's a good formula for life. Trust God and do the right thing. Hey, always remember that if Boaz had not been a man of principle, if he had not been a man of conviction, he would have ended up like the rest of the nation Israel at this time, ruthless. Ruthless. I've been waiting to use that one. And notice, too, the honorable precaution that he takes in verse 14. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another, still dark. Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Notice, Boaz does all that he can to save Ruth's reputation from the rumor mill. He didn't want to give the town gossips anything to chew on. And ladies, take note of this. For a guy who really loves you will do all that he can to protect your reputation, not put it in jeopardy. Remember that. Well, at the end of chapter 3, Boaz makes another smart move. Every soon-to-be husband, son-in-law, needs to follow his example. Notice verse 15. And he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley. and laid it on her. And then she went into the city. Ruth takes home to Naomi 6 bushels of barley. That's an enormous amount. And I hope you see what Boaz is up to. He's getting in good with mom. He's making some points with the mother-in-law. Not a bad idea. Guys, you could take a cue or two from Boaz. And so when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" And then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" It's for you, mom. Boaz has won the girl. But notice, he seals the deal by winning over her family. It's an important point for you young ladies. I'm not suggesting that you marry a schmoozer, but do make sure you marry someone who respects your family. That is very, very important. Well, in the last verse of chapter 3, Naomi gives Ruth a near impossible command. It might just be impossible. Listen. Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how this matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Ruth's future, the love of her life, is on the line. She's in limbo, and she's expected to sit still? Hey, here's the acid test of faith. After we've done all that we can do, are we then willing to sit back and trust the Lord and sit still before the Lord and wait on the Lord to do His work? In Psalm 46, verse 10, the Lord Himself tells us, "Be still and know that I am God." We too need to learn to wait on the Lord. Well, chapter 4. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Hey, come aside, friend, sit down over here." So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." And so they sat down, pulling in his witnesses. Then he said to the close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And he said, "I'll redeem it." And with those words, I'm sure Boaz's heart must have skipped a beat. But here's the kicker. The guy still doesn't know about Ruth. And so Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance." In other words, Elimelech's ground and the girl go together. The property and the princess were a package deal. Here's a point. Always read the fine print on the contract. When he realizes the whole deal, suddenly this guy backs down, verse 6. And the close relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance." That's another way of saying, "What will my wife think?" Imagine this guy walking into the house that night and announcing, "Honey, guess who I brought home for dinner tonight? Sweetheart, I finally got you some help for the housework. You remember just the other day you said it takes 2 people to do your job? Well..." I mean, how do you break it to your wife that she's now got company? "This would ruin your inheritance, trust me." He tells Boaz, "You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." And that was exactly what Boaz was hoping to hear. Now, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. This was an ancient way of signing the contract, of saying that he was passing on to Boaz his right to walk the land. That's why he gave him the sandal, because you're going to be walking the land, and therefore you're going to be marrying the lady. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself." And so he took off his sandal, passing on the sandal, signed the contract, did the deal, made it official. Now, I want you to think for a moment, because this story really strikes a lot closer to home than you might first think. This wicked world, this land that we tread, that we walk, once belonged to God, did it not? When the Creator made man, He gave us dominion over the earth. But man sinned, and he forfeited that dominion and control over to Satan. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus calls Satan the ruler of this world. But according to God's law, when a parcel is lost, there is always the possibility of redemption. It can be bought back or redeemed. What Boaz did for Elimelech, Jesus has done for the human family. You see, the book of Ruth stresses a vital point. Redemption had to be purchased by a blood relative, a near kinsman. This is why Ruth and Christmas go together. For Jesus was born in Bethlehem, where Ruth lived, to a maid named Mary. And in doing so, Jesus joined the human race. Why? To be our near kinsman. As our relative, it positioned Jesus to redeem a world that had been lost to sin and to Satan. On the cross, Jesus paid the redemption price. Question, though, is why did he do it? Hey, Jesus is not only a citizen of earth, he is the Lord of the universe. He owns billions and billions of planets, just like our own. I'm sure the last thing Jesus had to gain by going to the cross was just another planet. If that had been the case, he would have spared himself the trouble. But Jesus, like Boaz, was not as interested in the parcel of land as he was the lady. For remember, the ground and the girl go together. The land and the lady are a package deal. Jesus redeemed the earth because he wanted to marry the bride. And who is the bride? You are. I am. We are the bride of Christ. And Jesus purchased back this earth, not so he could have another planet, but so that he could have you, that he could have me, so that we could be his bride. Jesus is our Boaz. We are his Ruth, his Gentile bride. What a marvelous picture. Ruth is all about the romance of redemption. Well, verse 9, "And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, 'You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day.' And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah.'" They were the mothers of Israel, the mothers of the 12 tribes. "May the Lord make Ruth as prosperous as these ladies of old, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." The tribe of Judah, by the way, was the preeminent tribe in Israel. In fact, the name Jews comes from Judah. And remember, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came from the lineage of Judah. Well, the remainder of chapter 4 explains another reason why the book of Ruth was so significant to the Hebrews, because it cast a light on the origins of the most important family in Hebrew history. In fact, the most strategic family in the history of the earth. And we're not talking about the Windsors of Great Britain, or the Bushes of Texas, or the Kennedys of Massachusetts, or the Bowdens of Tallahassee, or the Waltons of Walton Mountain. We're talking about the family of King David of Jerusalem. Later, God is going to promise David and his sons the throne of Israel, and God is going to promise David that upon the throne of Israel, David will always have a son who will sit on that throne, and his son will reign over God's kingdom for all eternity. David will have an heir that will reign over all the earth, who will be an eternal king over an eternal kingdom. Now, Boaz and Ruth have a baby boy they name Obed. This Obed has a son he names Jesse. And Jesse has a son who he names David. And years later, several branches down the family tree, a son of David is born whose name is Jesus, who fulfills every one of God's promises. But I'm ahead of the story, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age." You know, grandkids sometimes will keep you young. They'll put a spark back in your life, some wind back in your sails. That's what happened to Naomi. "For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." When Naomi got back into God's will, God chose to bless her abundantly. Hey, you remember when Naomi said, what Naomi said to the ladies of Bethlehem when she first returned home from Moab? "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara or bitter, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me." But at the end of the story, old bitter has become blessed. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "This is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And in keeping with the allegorical aspects of the book, here's one more pertinent point. The Hebrew word Obed means serving. And it's no accident that the marriage between Boaz and Ruth produces a child named Serving. For isn't that exactly what happens when you and I embrace our Boaz, Jesus Christ? Jesus births within us a desire to serve God by serving others. Well, verse 18 wraps it up. Now, this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. If you're a single sister tonight, may the Lord bless you with your Boaz, a holy hunk, a Matthew, a Denzel, who loves the Lord and will love you. And if you're a single brother, may the Lord send you a virtuous woman, a woman like Ruth. And if you're married, may the Lord bless you with loyal daughters and faithful daughter-in-laws like Ruth, and principled sons and son-in-laws like Boaz, who put commitment before convenience. And if you're a person who just feels lost tonight, you feel out of place everywhere you go, you feel like a stranger even in your own home, then there is a Boaz who has his eye on you, who loves you, who purposely tosses out little bundles of blessing in front of you. In fact, he's already paid your redemption price, and he wants to take you as his bride. His name is Jesus. Lie down at his feet and do what he tells you to do.
The book of Ruth is a strong example of true faith. Ruth had no idea where she was going, yet she committed to staying with Naomi and therefore staying with God. God honored this and many other steps of faith that Ruth took. Is God calling you to step out in faith today? We want to encourage you to follow Ruth's example and follow God wherever he may take you. If you'd like to listen again to today's teaching from Pastor Sandy Adams, we have a CD copy we'd love to send you. just give us a call at 770-736-2828. Again, that's 770-736-2828. And be sure to mention today's date. You can also find this and many other studies from the Word on our website, sandyadams.org. Sandy Adams Radio is a ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams and Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain, and we're blessed to be a part of your spiritual journey. This program wouldn't be possible without the prayers of our listeners. We'd like to ask that you join us in this way as well. We want to keep our focus on God as we continue to share His Word. We'd ask that you pray for us to also step out in faith at His leading. If you feel the Lord is also encouraging you to partner financially with Sandy Adams Radio, we've set up a secure online page for that purpose. Just click donate at sandyadams.org to find out more. Thanks for listening to today's message. There's more to discover next time on Sandy Adams Radio.